Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show. Welcome to the program. It's Tuesday, December the 29th, 2020. Facebook is lit up today, last hour, about people saying they felt this boom. They think they had like an earthquake or something. But from what we've been able to determine, there was no earthquake, probably some kind of a sonic boom. But anyway, lots of people felt that about an hour ago here in Tucson. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, bringing folks together on the radio. And our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. George Hammond is with us. Dr. Hammond, the director and research professor at the Economics and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona-based Eller College of Management. George, how's your holiday season going so far?
Hi, Bill. It's going great. I hope it's going well for you as well.
Pretty darn well so far. What kind of year has this been? Of course, it's been a year dominated. There was the year up to COVID, like to St. Patrick's Day. Then there was the COVID year. So what kind of year did it turn out to be for us here in Arizona, economic-wise?
Well, it's as you, everybody knows, it's been a huge roller coaster. We lost a huge number of jobs from February to April as the outbreak really hit Arizona and we went through the stay-at-home orders. The good news is that we got a pretty strong bounce back in May, in June, and since then we've been growing at a pretty solid pace. The state added about 6,500 jobs over the month in November. That's about our average job growth monthly during the 4 years before the pandemic. At this point, the state has recovered just over 68% of the 295,000 jobs that we lost from February to April. That's better than the U.S., which has replaced 56% of those jobs. But, you know, Arizona is still 93,000 jobs below where we were in February. And most of that, the gap, is in leisure and hospitality, so the travel and tourism sector, professional and business services, especially kind of the temporary help jobs, the contract jobs. Healthcare and local government jobs are also significantly below where they were in February. So, you know, we are recovering. The unemployment rate in November was 7.8%. That's a lot better than the 13.4% it was in April. It's a little bit above the national rate, which was 6.7% in November. So, you know, we are recovering. We are making progress, but we still got a long way to go.
How are we doing compared to Phoenix and other areas of the state?
Well, Tucson jobs as of November were 4.1% below where they were in February. Phoenix has done a little bit better with jobs 2.9% below February. Statewide, jobs are 3.1% below February, and we're all better off than the U.S. The U.S. jobs are 6.5% below February. So pretty much across the board in the state, we're making progress in recovering the jobs that were lost initially. But really, it's Flagstaff that stands out among the metro areas. Flagstaff jobs are still, you know, 17% below where they were in February.
So overall, the national unemployment rate, we're actually doing better than the national rate of unemployment?
In terms of the unemployment rate, our rate is a bit above the national rate, about 1.1 percentage points above the U.S. rate. But, you know, you want to keep in mind that the state unemployment rate is very volatile, particularly during the current year. It'll get smoothed out when the revisions come out next year. So, you know, I think we're probably in the neighborhood of the national unemployment rate. But we are gradually recovering. Things are improving.
You know, we keep hearing about this exodus from places like California over to Arizona and other states that are perhaps not as high tax states. Arizona's, Tucson's population, has it grown a bit this year or no?
Yeah, at least according to the latest estimates from the Arizona Office of Economic Opportunity, Tucson population grew about 7,700 residents from July of 2019 to July of 2020. That's a growth rate of 0.7%. That's pretty fairly similar to our growth rate in 2019. Now, it is true that Arizona does draw most of its migrants, and the same is true for Tucson. We draw most of our migrants from California and really from other states in the West.
You know, the tourism industry has been decimated. Do you have any numbers showing how bad it is for tourism, perhaps in Arizona versus the national picture?
Yeah, the one of the things that we track in my center on our website, Arizona's Economy, at azeconomy.org, we track weekly data that gives us a really quick read, an up-to-date read on how the travel and tourism sector is recovering. And what we see is, really not much progress yet, particularly in that travel and tourism sector. So, you know, hotel occupancy rates are still around 37-38%. They're down about 30-40%. It's true nationally. We're seeing the same thing here in Arizona. Movie ticket sales are, 90-95% below where they were last year. The traffic at airports is running at about one-third of normal nationally and here in Arizona. And seated diners at restaurants, which is kind of a narrow slice of the restaurant industry, but these are places where you would go to spend a couple hours having a nice meal. Traffic to those kinds of establishments is down 40-50% from where it was last year. So, with the virus still raging through the population, it's really putting a damper on the recovery in the travel and tourism sector. Hopefully, the availability of the vaccine will gradually help.
George Hammond, what's your outlook for the near term, anyway, here in Arizona?
Yeah, I think that the recovery will continue, probably at a slower pace over the next couple of months. But it will be helped by the stimulus package, and as the vaccine circulates more through, more people get vaccinated, that will help as well. I think Arizona is on track to get back to where we were in February, sometime around June or at least in the second half of 2021. So we're still on track to be recovered by the second half of next year.
How about the risk to that outlook?
Yeah, the big risk is that the outbreak continues to surge in a really major way, I think the fiscal stimulus will help. We're probably going to get at least a $10 billion boost to the state economy just through the stimulus payments alone, not to mention the other federal spending that will flow to Arizona through other programs related to the latest package. So that will help, and it will help to keep us on track.
Do you have any idea, George Hammond, how many businesses, maybe the percentage of businesses in the state that may have failed because of COVID? Do you have a handle at all on that?
We don't have a handle on that specifically, but we do know that businesses, particularly small businesses, have been relatively hard hit. And we have some nice articles on our MAP dashboard at mapaz-dashboard.arizona.edu that kind of run through what we do know on a weekly basis that's being published by the Census Bureau about both how households are being affected and how businesses are being affected.
All right, George Hammond, hope it's a wonderful new year for you. Thank you very much, George.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Dr. George Hammond is the director and research professor at the Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona-based Eller College of Management. Still time to put in your order for New Year's. How about a great Danish Kringle from Mona's Danish Bakery for New Year's Eve morning, or how about waking up in the new year and knowing there's a Kringle in the kitchen? That sounds good to me right about now. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, of course, is open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And of course, you can put in, if you're having a special meal, a lot of people like to do a special meal on New Year's. How about some beautiful dinner rolls or some kind of a special dessert? Pie would be something that Steve would love to hear from you. Steve, the owner and chief baker, put in your order at monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. Shelley with me in studio with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and we'll find out how the markets are doing right after this.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Still time to take advantage of that gift card promotion at the two Vero Amore locations. Buy $100, get a $25 gift certificate. That's also good over at their sister property, Noble Hops Craft Beer and Fine Fare in Oro Valley. And also remember, bring five cans for the community food bank and $5 off your meal. Happy holidays from Vero Amore and Noble Hops.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Here he is. Happy New Year, Shelley.
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
Who would have ever thought that about 8 months ago we would be talking about a pretty darn good year? In fact, yesterday, record highs on some of the indices.
Yeah, and I must always caution that the market is not the economy.
No, it is not.
And so the prior segment that you did really
with Dr. Hammond,
really reflects, I think, in microcosm, where the country is right now from an economic perspective. Yeah, you know, we don't track the national statistics exactly 100%, but we're very close in how Arizona reacts to the rest of the country. What we have here is a really interesting kind of phenomenon that we entered the year with, you know, a fairly decent outlook for stocks. We were probably overbought a little bit because price to equity ratios were really, or price to earnings ratios were a little bit rich based upon historical valuations. But then, you know, all heck broke loose.
And also we entered the year with pretty darn close to full employment in the United States.
In the United States, we did. But again, even that statistic was somewhat misleading because what we weren't getting was the kind of job growth and productivity growth that we'd been used to seeing since the Great Recession. So we had 3.1, 3.2% unemployment, which, you know, in anybody's estimation was awfully good. But some of that was made up of low-income employers, employees. Some of it was made up of people who had more than one job.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. We're working two and sometimes three jobs. They had, outside hustles going on from their main job.
Right. And this whole phenomenon of the gig employee, who is you know, what we would consider in old school, that being 3 years ago, say a 1099 employee, somebody who isn't W-2'd, isn't on salary, isn't getting a bunch of benefits along with the job. And that has become increasingly a present part of the way our economy is formed now. And it's not clear how the economy is going to absorb those changes. And while this year, I guess we were all looking forward to going into this year to somewhat of a slowdown. We had the manufacturing sector already in recession. We had the consumer sector showing some lack of confidence in consumer goods. And then, of course, in February, anything that might have been diagnostic of where a normal economy was going to take us, you know, just blew up. So what we've seen, as George was discussing, is we had a huge drop in GDP, we had a huge drop in employment, and now we're about halfway back. You can say in some sectors we're 60% back, in some sectors 40% back, but we're about halfway back.
Which is pretty good.
Which is, you're right.
It's not pretty good
progress.
If you're one of the other 40% that's not covered.
And that's what has happened in this year, is what was already a serious problem with income and opportunity disparity between the haves and the have-nots grew worse. What we've seen, especially as the stock market has insisted upon being optimistic. We've seen people who have not had to cash in on their investments, people who are well invested in stocks and bonds, have done just fine over this year. I mean, they're the same people who work from home, who haven't lost their jobs. And so the top 10%, maybe the top 20% of earners have done okay. Now, that said, life is disrupted. I mean, you know, you're at home, you're not going out to restaurants that much, you're not traveling. But from an earnings perspective, from a standard of living perspective, you know, some percentage of the population has not been disadvantaged. And then there's the rest. And what we're seeing in this country with food lines and people unemployed and people not knowing where their next meal is going to come from, we just have been completely dependent on the government, the federal government, to get this right. And quite frankly, the federal government has gotten it in some ways more wrong than right, certainly in the past couple of months in terms of time.
Yeah, well, look at waiting for the second stimulus. That should have been on the heels of the first stimulus.
Absolutely.
It should have
happened in April and May.
Of course.
And so what we have
putting
is,
people through all this terrible uncertainty around the holiday. It's just horrible.
Sure. You know, I mean, all these millionaires in the Senate and in Congress,
yeah.
You know,
Do they care?
Well, you know, they should because it's their constituents.
Yes.
But they're not suffering the way the rest of the country or so much of the country is suffering. And there's this guy in the White House who keeps on prodding them to downplay the effect of this pandemic on the economy. As a result, they're kind of torn between what they're hearing from their constituents and what the politics of the moment is demanding of them. And we're seeing that played out even today.
So 3 weeks from now, we have a new president, and I would imagine there will be emphasis on another set of stimulus.
Well, at least if Biden is to be believed, mm-hmm. Yes. Now, the question, of course, is what is the art of the possible in, for instance, a Congress that might
be divided by
a slim majority for the Democrats in the House of Representatives, and who knows what we're going to see in the Senate. So what we're going to see, because it's a Democratic administration coming in, is a new religious fervor on the part of Republicans to become deficit hawks. You know, all of a sudden, spending money is going to be pawning the futures of our grandchildren in the name of short-term gain. And that kind of attitude is going to bring us back to a dialogue in politics that is more normal, but I believe utterly inappropriate for where we are. What we need right now in the economy is the federal government to participate, not just with low interest rates. We've had tremendous gains with low interest rates, but a lot of those gains have been in stocks and bonds. What we need is real programs that the government can implement that will put people to work, that will get people trained, that will get people to understand where this new economy is going, as we're learning, you know, in real time what the new economy is going to look like.
Maybe this would be a good time for our service program.
Oh, please, from your mouth.
Yes, everybody get out to work and do some kind of a service.
There are so many programs.
This would be a perfect time,
That the government could participate in that would get people working and that would get people trained. That I can't tell you how much I believe that this is vital to our long-term recovery. We came into this year looking for about a 2% gain in GDP growth. That's okay, but there's nothing spectacular about it. And what we need is we need to get back to the days where we had 3.5-4% growth rate so that the increases in growth and in wealth in the country can be shared more equitably across the entire spectrum of U.S. Wage earners. And we don't have that right now, Bill. And the longer we have this disparity and the deeper the disparity grows, the harder it is to climb out of this. So I'm hopeful that the new administration will be able to find a way to get people working together, at least in that one area, which is that the government will put people to work, will work on infrastructure, will find ways to make it possible for people to get retrained and trained in what is the differential advantage of this country, the new technologies in climate and low fossil fuel use, all of the things that we do very, very well, you know, high service oriented jobs and service-oriented businesses, that will get us long-term gain that's sustainable. Right now, you know, it's anybody's guess.
And the roadblocks will be obstructionists and the divided Congress.
And, you know, the political uncertainty of what we're seeing in just, you know, people questioning the validity of the mm-hmm. election. And, you know, that takes so much energy and so much of the time that we hear and see on the media that you can't really concentrate on what's really important, which is keeping people working productively and increasing productivity.
All right, Shelley, I hope you have a very safe New Year's. Best to you and your family. Thank you very much for your service to this program. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Be right back on Buckmaster.
CBS News Brief. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell won't commit to a vote on increasing COVID stimulus checks for Americans. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer appears on the floor, apparently attempting to get the bill introduced.
The bill received from the House to increase recovery rebate amounts to $2,000 per individual.
CBS's Paula Reed reports Senator McConnell has said he opposes the raise in the payments.
He is facing a lot of pressure from some strange bedfellows. Both President Trump, Bernie Sanders, some other Democrats are really pressing Republicans to just get on board and increase these stimulus payments.
Vice President-elect Kamala Harris rolls up her sleeve and gets her first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine.
Thank you. There's no eating. I barely felt it.
The Biden team has put emphasis on encouraging inoculation in non-white groups who have been hard hit by the coronavirus. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilcalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. And I'm still suggesting to folks, you know, this is the holidays. What a nice way to start the New Year's for a neighbor who is alone. Why not drop off a poinsettia from Green Things? There's still some left. They grew 25,000 of them this holiday season. They're at 3384 East River Road, the website greenthingsaz.com, and of course, zocalovillage.com, all that great Mexican folk art. They've got some beautiful things there at Green Things, so check them out. Let's go now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Arizona State Representative Andres Cano, who was in November easily reelected to a second, his second two-year term at the Arizona Legislature. Democrat Andres Cano with us on the live line. Andres, how are you? And I hope you're recovering. I heard in the news that you did have a bout. You tested positive. Are you on the mend, or what was the experience like for you?
Hi, Bill. Well, it's good to be here with you. Happy holidays. I am so grateful for the well wishes. Was pretty, quite frankly, stunned to have received a positive diagnosis after such careful care. But I was routinely testing, Bill. Got tested every week, and that's how I was able to catch it on early and isolate around the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'm all back to speed, was asymptomatic, and just grateful to return back to the legislature come January 11th when the 55th legislature convenes.
Representative Cano, how will the Arizona legislature convene without becoming a daily COVID-19 super spreader event?
Well, I am deeply concerned about the Republican majority not taking the pandemic seriously all these months later. This morning, we woke up to news that the Senate will be convening on January 11th with basically business as usual. Opening day celebrations, folks coming to the Capitol. Of course, that will have a bit of a max. But, I mean, look, there's 30 senators, 60 representatives. There's no need. There's no need for us to jeopardize our own individual health, but more importantly, what kind of message are we sending to the people of Arizona when we're telling them to stay home and isolate when at the same time our 90 lawmakers are gathering and convening? So I'm going to continue to hold my colleagues accountable and ask that they put public health at the top of our priority list, Bill.
So again, to clarify, Andres Cano, the lawmakers will be in attendance in Phoenix for the state of the state address launching the session.
You know, we've not heard whether the governor is going to be offering that to the two chambers respectively as he usually does, Bill, but we have been asking for a mandatory virtual format, and we have not been given the green light. We're being told that we can participate in committees and vote in person, and if we want to do it remotely, we just don't know those options yet. And this is not new. We've been dealing with this. Every workplace in America has had the opportunity to adapt, and I think it is striking and telling that the majority is not taking this seriously, because ultimately, look, Bill, we want to go back to focus on the issues that Arizonans want us to pay attention to. A disastrous response to COVID-19. More than 500,000 COVID-19 cases in Arizona and 8,000 Arizonans who are no longer with us because of the pandemic in Arizona alone. We have work to do. We just want to do that in a remote and secure way. So I'm calling on my colleagues to wake up and smell the coffee and recognize that the vaccine is still months away for most Arizonans.
What is the number one order of business after the certainly the health and safety of you lawmakers, but what needs to be done for the people of Arizona right now?
You know, and I'd like to think that we're just 90 of more than 6 million Arizonans. And so my priority is helping the most vulnerable who need us right now. And I'm looking ultimately at the unemployment crisis that's happening throughout our state. We have the lowest, second lowest benefit in the country, $240 a week. If you're getting that bill, that means $960 is all you're getting by to be able to pay your bills. For the most part here in Southern Arizona, you're lucky that for that $960 to cover a portion of your rent and maybe a grocery store purchase, and that's it. So I think ultimately enhancing our unemployment benefit amounts, providing direct resource to those facing eviction and needing some support with their rent or with their mortgage, those have to be a part of the priorities on day one at the Capitol.
It breaks my heart, Andres Cano, driving into the station today and seeing a line around the block at El Vernon and just before Speedway, there's a church over there and they do a food, trying to food assistance for people, line around the block. That is, it just breaks your heart, my friend.
Well, and that's part of why in the middle of the pandemic, when it was just getting started in the spring, I offered a bill to support our food banks and to be able to offer them about $2 million in immediate relief. That was rejected by the Republican majority at the state capitol. And look, we're talking about food. We're talking about whether or not a child is going to be faced to go with his or her parent out into the streets because the parent has lost their job and is unable to provide, you know, for their family in these difficult times. This is not a time to be prideful. It's not a time to be portraying yourself as a Democrat or a Republican. We are first and foremost Americans, and secondly, Arizonans who should be helping one another during this pandemic. We're not seeing that kind of action just quite from the majority party at the Capitol.
This is an absolute emergency, this session of the legislature. You would think that partisanship will be taking a back seat. That would be my hope. That would be my prayer. But being around a while, I think I'll probably not see that, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Bill, every time I come onto your show, it's like I'm continuing to point the compare and contrast differences. But all you have to do is follow the facts and the numbers. 400 million of the CARES Act dollars that were supposed to help vulnerable Arizonans through this pandemic were allocated by Governor Ducey to offset the general fund expenditures for the Department of Corrections. It makes no sense for us to be trying to figure out how we're going to help folks. And what we're doing essentially is coughing the state budget. We still have $1 billion in the rainy day fund. Why aren't we sending this relief out? Instead, we're being told to get in line. And that's the line that you saw this morning at that food bank bill coming into work.
See, there you go. And I agree with you on this. That's $1 billion, you said, in that rainy day fund. And earlier, a few moments ago, you said it would have taken $2 million to help the food banks. I don't get it, Andres, but maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I was told by one of my lawmakers across the aisle that that lawmaker would not be supportive of my food bank bill because that said lawmaker gives to their local food bank. That goes to show you the caliber of lawmakers that we're working with. And meanwhile, I mean, let's talk about the extremism happening. You have a president outgoing of the United States who wants to offer $2,000 in relief, which is laudable. I'm grateful that he's doing this. And meanwhile, some lawmakers are saying Americans don't need relief. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. We need to get work done for the people of this country and for Arizonans who need us right now.
Andres Cano, always a pleasure, newly reelected state lawmaker, Democrat district, legislative district number 3. Andres, we will talk as this session gets underway. I hope you and yours have a very happy new year. We're all hoping 2021 will be better. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Be safe, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Andres Cano with us in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the program presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Happy New Year from our friends over there in Grant County who say 2021 will be better. Start your planning now for a getaway, only a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Southwest. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll learn about lots of stuff to do and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Better days are on the way. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to the co-founder of AllSportsTucson.com, Anthony Jimeno, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Wildcat Sports. Anthony is senior editor of Lindy's Football Annuals. AG, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. We've picked a news-breaking kind of day here, haven't we?
That's what I like on the Buckmaster Show. What is this about UA basketball may not be in the big dance?
Well, they won't be. They have self-imposed a one-year postseason ban.
What?
What they're calling a proactive measure based on the ongoing NCAA enforcement process. Now, Arizona is they're under a notice of allegations under the NCAA, and an independent counsel will hear that case at a later time. But the UA, for the first time, is admitting that, there was some kind of wrongdoing in the whole basketball scandal from a few years ago with agents and people getting paid and coaches taking money and trading favors and all that kind of stuff. So they have decided to sit out the 2021 NCAA tournament as partially to get in front of it. Sometimes doing so can perhaps mitigate any other punishment that comes down the road. But I just feel bad for the guys on this team because they had nothing to do with this.
Right.
But this is the way the NCAA world works. So Arizona can still compete, you know, for the Pac-10 regular season title and the conference tournament title, but there'll be no NCAA tournament.
And there's no guarantee this is going to make any difference with the NC2A, right, about the punishment? Right.
Right. There could be additional penalties, but the end result may have been a one-year ban anyway, so why not take it now?
There you go. Anthony, it has been 1 week since Arizona's surprise decision to hire New England Patriots quarterback coach Jed Fish, who was not on, as far as I know, anybody's radar except University of Arizona President Robert Robbins, who was impressed with Coach Fish when he applied 3 years ago for the job that Coach Sumlin got. There's still a lot of buzz about this. I was pretty outspoken about it on Facebook. I was a big fan of the San Jose State coach who's just performed miracles with that Spartan team. His name is Brad Brennan. He has Wildcat blood. There's heritage there. And this is a hire that seemed to be it seemed to make so much sense, Anthony, as my friends, and I've still got a couple over in San Jose because I spent 8 years in the media over there in the 80s. They say this guy, Brennan, is too good to be true.
There's a lot to unpack there, for sure. I know, you know, he was here as a graduate assistant in Dick Tomey's last year. His brother was a walk-on receiver here in the late 80s. Really good walk-on receiver, Brad Brennan. I know, and then he later coached under Coach Tomey at San Jose State for a while. And I know Dick Tomey thought Brent was going to be a superstar coach. And we're starting to see that now. But Arizona went in a different direction. And like you said, I think Jed Fish was kind of a favorite of President Robbins from the start, even though he wasn't one of those names that immediately came to mind, because people aren't exactly knocking down Jed Fish's door to hire him right now. It's confusing. I have nothing against Jed Fish. He seems in the week since the hiring, he seems to be engaging. He speaks well. For people I know who have covered him,
right,
they say he will be very good with the media. He'll probably be very good out in the community, which I think is a must right now. So again, I've got nothing against him. I kind of still have something against the decision. So I've kind of equated it to the five stages of grief. Yeah. And I'm not quite at acceptance. I know some people got there.
Yeah.
I think some people probably like yourself are still working your way through it.
I'm still working. I think about this, Anthony Gimeno, think about the golden opportunity for publicity. Coach Brennan and his San Jose State team are in Tucson right now for a nationally televised game, the Arizona Bowl, going to be on CBS New Year's Eve afternoon. imagine, he's coming back to Arizona Stadium. Think about how that would play. That would sell tickets for next year.
Yeah, I don't, you know, again, I kind of feel a little bit bad for Coach Fish, because I think the way the UA went about the hire, that they set out a list of criteria that they wanted, that they were looking for, and then they went against it. And in doing so, they basically said, okay, Coach Fish, we really, really like you. We're glad you're here. They said all the right things. Oh, you're going to start off, it's first and 25 at your own goal line. Good luck. And they really put him in a bad spot. I mean, he's going to have to, in football terms, he's going to have to earn every inch of his way down the field in terms of gaining trust and loyalty and all those kind of things. And, you know, again, not saying he can't do it, but by Arizona's own criteria, especially in terms of, hey, we need a program builder, he's never built a program. You know, my number one criteria, and this will always, I don't think it'll ever change, and this is what Arizona has not done for the past 20 years, is hire a coach, and this sounds very simple, but I'll explain, who knows how to do more with less.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, you've got to have that guy, in another analogy, who can punch above his weight class, mm-hmm. which is what the Navy coach, who was my first choice, can do. He's at Navy. He beat Notre Dame 3 times and beat Notre Dame like 4 decades. He goes and beats Notre Dame 3 times.
And three years ago, it looked like he was the hire. Apparently, it was a done deal, but then he gets overruled, and apparently that was it for the Navy coach.
And apparently he got overruled again this time, but that's a longer story. But, you know, Jed Fish, great resume in a sense. I mean, he's been with some great coaches. I mean, some all-time coaches, Steve Spurrier, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Sean McVay with the Rams going to the Super Bowl. I mean, he's been adjacent to greatness, but his college stops have been Florida, Miami, Michigan, 1 year at Minnesota.
And not as the head coach.
Not as the head coach. No. When you're at Florida, Miami, and Michigan, you don't punch above your weight class. You're heavyweight.
Yeah.
And at Arizona, you got to understand you're not the heavyweight. You got to know how to do that and what you're in for. And his background tells me, again, not that he can't do it, but that he just hasn't had that opportunity, and that's worrisome.
I'll tell you, Anthony, I sat through I was on a lot of search committees in my 22 years at the University of Arizona, and always one of the big red flags was, why is this guy or this woman moved around so much, and how much has Jed Fish moved around, Anthony?
Short answer, quite a bit. And I know his goal has always been to be a head coach. Now he's a head coach. The thing I would throw out there is that I think the two candidates who fit Arizona's stated criteria the most were Ken Niumatalolo at Navy and Brent Brennan at San Jose State. Those guys are already head coaches. And at this particular moment in time, they wanted desperately, badly, to be the head coach at Arizona.
Yep.
Jed Fish wanted to be a head coach. See the difference? Again, maybe he'll make it work here, but he just wanted to be a head coach. The other guys wanted to be here right now in 2020.
Yep.
So time will tell. I mean, a lot of questionable coaching decisions, hiring, turn out just fine. And like I said, I think he's got some positives working for him. Looks like he'll hire a good staff, which is really critical. So from me, clean slate and all that, but I'm not quite done griping about the decision.
Well,
so I'm not quite to acceptance, but you'll get there.
As you can tell by my remarks, I'm not quite there yet either. Anthony Gimeno, Happy New Year to you, and we'll hope Coach Brennan does a great showing in that game with San Jose State. It's going to be a fun game on national TV. All right, Anthony, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Buckmaster wrapping it up here on a Tuesday on behalf of my friend John Couch, engineering and producing. Hope you enjoyed our program. I think we managed to get a lot of content in a short amount of time. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. We'll be back with you 12:04. Dave Ramsey's next with his show on money.